Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
We are going to continue in our series called Counterculture this week. And we've been going through this series, really, where we've been talking about how following Jesus and following after Jesus is going to mean going against what is considered to be the social norm, right? This series is focused on a section of scripture where Jesus is getting ready to send his followers out, his disciples out, to do like their own like mission, to go take the message of him to other people, and he's not going with them. He's preparing them to go without him, and he's telling them all the things that will probably happen. And he's brutally honest with them, just like he's brutally honest with us, okay? And he tells us, some people are going to welcome you, and some people are going to reject you. You're going to be surrounded by danger. You're going to experience betrayal by your closest friends, by your family. You're going to be completely dependent upon other people for your survival. You're going to face persecution and maybe even death. All of these things has already been set up to this point. We've been talking about them, and it's really heavy, isn't it? It's like you kind of sit here and you're like, dang, this is what it looks like? And as we were planning out this sermon series, we were kind of reading through this whole portion of scripture. And we came to today's portion, and as we were planning this out, and honestly, we were planning out this sermon series like 6 months ago. So I just want you to like be aware of how just God works things, and his timing is honestly so supernatural, okay? So as we were sitting down and we were talking about this sermon series and we were reading through the book of Matthew in this section, I got this picture in my head. And in the picture in my head was of a hurricane. Have you guys ever seen like a hurricane, what it looks like from an aerial view, right? This is actually what a hurricane looks like, or a typhoon if you are in certain parts of the world, okay? And a hurricane comes with a lot of issues. When a hurricane makes landfall, it is accompanied by disastrous wind levels. Like, disastrous wind levels that probably you and I, living where we live, have never experienced in our lives. There is excessive rain. Where, like, sometimes I've heard people explain it like the rain was like actually falling sideways because of the amount of wind that was accompanied with it. And the rain was just going sideways instead of like straight down. There's a storm surge that comes from where it comes out from the ocean to land, and it brings huge waves of water with it. So that as it makes landfall, not only are they experiencing the disaster from the wind and the rain, but now they're experiencing the flooding from just the ocean itself coming up onto land from the wind carrying it. And then the eye of the storm comes. This middle part makes landfall. Something amazing happens when that eye of the storm comes. The sky clears. It's like sunny. The wind stops. It feels like the worst is over. And those who aren't accustomed to these types of storms might start to let their guards down a little bit and start to go about like, okay, we can come out, we can take the boards off the windows. It's over. But behind the eye, is a whole other section of storm. And the disastrous thing is that the second storm wave is often even more disastrous than the first. Because as the second wave starts to make landfall, the winds actually shift. So what was blowing from the west is now blowing to the east. And so everything that was falling over one way and weakened in one way of wind, now as they've righted themselves, they're hit by a wind coming the opposite direction. And many times, trees snap and are uprooted. Buildings crumble. Because the storm keeps coming. And this is what I envisioned as I was reading through the passage that we've been preaching about the past few weeks. Jesus preparing his followers to go out, and he's warning of all these things that could happen. And he takes just a minute, right here in the eye, and he's like, let's calm down for just a second. Let me look at you. Let me focus on you for a minute. Not about what you're going to experience, not about how other people might treat you or are going to treat you. I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you. I want to talk to your heart. If Jesus' warning speech looked like a hurricane, today's portion of scripture would be the eye of the storm. I picture him looking into their eyes, seeing the fear, the concern, the uncertainty of where they are, of what he's saying, of what they're going to be doing. And he's like, okay, listen, I want to talk to you for just a second. There's more coming, but let me talk to you. Let me bring some truth to you about this. And so this is what he says. We're going to be reading today in Matthew chapter 10, verses 26 to 31. Jesus looks at them and he says, do not be afraid of those who threaten you. For the time is coming when everything that is covered will be revealed. And all that is secret will be made known to all. What I tell you now in the darkness, shout abroad when daybreak comes. What I whisper in your ear, shout from the housetops for all to hear. Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. What is the price of two sparrows? One copper coin? But not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father knowing it. And the very hairs of your head are numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. Jesus wants to calm his people. In the eye of the storm that might be around you today, in the eye of the storm that might be coming tomorrow, he wants to provide calmness and peace. Because storms can be devastating in our lives, especially when we are not healthy or firmly rooted where we're supposed to be. As I was preparing for this message this week, I was reminded, and I honestly have no idea where I heard this. I remember that I heard it a long time ago, so it might have been like a sermon I heard growing up in church. I have no idea, but I remembered this. I remember someone talking about storms that come in our lives. And he said, any time in our life, we're going to be in one of three places. We're either going to be in the middle of a storm. We're going to be cleaning up from a storm or preparing for the next storm. Oh, Pastor Paula, that is so encouraging. Thanks for that. Well, it's just the truth. We're going to be in one of these three places all the time. And there's a difference in how Jesus wants us to handle storms. Storms don't just come once in our lives. Storms are a continual thing that pass through. They do come to pass, though. Storms don't come to stay. They do come to pass. But Jesus takes a moment here and he's like, listen, there's a way that culture might deal with storms, but there's a way that I want you to deal with storms. Our culture deals with storms like with chaos. Like turning our world upside down with anger and vengeance, with substance. These are the ways that culture has taught us to deal with the hard times in our lives. Just get all worked up and go in a whirlwind. Get mad. Seek revenge. Mask it. Cover it up with something that'll make the pain go away. But in the middle of Jesus' teaching us about the storms we're going to face, the trials that are going to come, he stops and he tells us how to be countercultural when facing these storms. The first thing he says to us in here is a simple truth that is so important when we are looking at in the eye of a storm, in the face of a storm, and that's this: secrets can't hide. Secrets can't hide. Jesus said, do not be afraid of those who threaten you, for the time is coming when everything that is covered will be revealed, and all that is secret will be made known to all. What I tell you in the darkness, shout abroad when daybreak comes. What I whisper in your ear, shout from the housetops for all to hear. Everything, whether good or bad, will be fully exposed. God doesn't need me to be his investigator. He doesn't need me to put on my Sherlock Holmes hat and look for all the clues as to what is going on. When I was younger, whenever I would get a feeling like, something is off. I don't know what it is, but I just feel like there's something off. I would immediately be like, well, I gotta figure out what it is then. Because I don't wanna be walking around feeling like something is off. I don't wanna be made a fool of. And so I would pick up the phone and I would start calling people. Like, do you know anything that's going on? Do you know why I might be feeling this way? Has anyone said anything to you about what might be going on? I don't know. Whew. Well, right there, I was partnering with the chaos of culture. Right? Now, when I feel like there's something off, I just start praying. And I start declaring this scripture. God, I don't know what's going on, but I feel like there is just something not right. And so, Father God, whatever it is, I know that you are going to bring it to light. And whatever you need to bring to light, I am ready for it. If you need to use me in any way, you just let me know. I am right here. I am standing strong on your word. I am declaring the truth that you are bringing everything that is hidden to light and you're going to expose it for what it needs to be. That's how we handle the unseen things, that feeling of something being off. We don't have to be like, well, did you hear what what was going on? I heard this, and this is what they said to me, and what do you think we should do about that? All we have to do is stay focused right on the eyes of our Father. Pray that the truth of light will expose anything that is hidden. And guess what? God always, always reveals. When something is going on that will threaten his children, he exposes it. Always. It's a biblical principle. I used to say this to my kids, like when I felt like they weren't being completely honest with me, and this was not manipulation. This is just me letting them know, like, this is how God works. I would say to them, listen, I don't know if I can believe you or not. I don't know if you're telling me the truth, but I do know this. God knows what the truth is. And if you're not telling it to me, eventually he's going to make it be made known. And they're, ugh. Right? In Luke chapter 8, verse 17, it says, for all that is secret will eventually be brought into the open, and everything that is concealed will be brought to the light and made known to all. But he reveals things to us also to share and not to hoard. Because he says, what I tell you, the things that I tell you now, shout out on the mountains. The truth that he reveals to us about his love, his grace, his mercy are not things that we're supposed to hoard on to. I'm like, man, I feel so good when I know this. And I don't want to tell anybody else because I don't want this feeling to go away. He says, I didn't give it to you to hoard it. Tell other people about it. Don't hoard my truth. Don't hoard my love. Don't hoard my compassion and my grace. Because sharing that knowledge with other people gives them power to overcome the storms that they're walking in. So secrets can't hide. He doesn't need us to help him. The next is this. Fearing man is wasted energy. Fear of man is wasted energy. Our passage today says, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God who can destroy both soul and body in hell. When I would get in trouble as a kid, my mom would say this scripture over me. Not in these exact same words because I wouldn't have understood it. But she would say, don't be afraid of me because I can spank you. Be afraid of God who already knows what you did. Oh, right? Don't be afraid of the people that can cause you physical harm. Be afraid of God who already knows about it. That's where we should be starting, right? We don't have to fear men. Who cares what they say? Who cares what they can do? Because here's what I know. This statement from Jesus, it gives me pause on a daily basis. And I hope it gives you pause too. People can cause me physical harm, but it's just physical. Every day of my life should be focused on where am I walking? Because I'm only walking in one of two directions. I'm either walking towards Jesus, in a relationship with Jesus, towards heaven, or I'm listening to the voice of the enemy and listening to his lies and walking straight towards hell. Every day. That's my focus, and that should be your focus too. Where am I walking today? Is this path taking me to heaven or hell? Who cares what man can say to me? Because my soul can either prosper for eternity with Jesus or it will die for eternity in hell. Matthew said this. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. on judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. My actions are a reflection of the condition of my heart. So are yours. If my heart is not right and it is not in alignment with God, judgment day will be terrifying. I never want Father God to look at me and be like, who are you again? Because you said one thing, but your actions did not match your words. You preached really good messages, but when you stepped off that stage, you lived like the devil. Wow, that's super comforting, isn't it? But Jesus said this to us because it's super easy for us to lose the focus of the reality of eternity and be hyper-focused on people's opinions. And he's like, who cares? They are people. I am your Father. I am God. I reign above all. And this is where your focus should be. Jesus, in this passage, is telling us, look beyond the emotions and look at eternity. Well, that's countercultural because in our culture, society is like, you need to make sure that everything feels good. If that feels good, if that sounds good, you should do it. Listen, all your emotions are valid, and your feelings are valid, and you should not ignore them. Listen, I agree that your feelings are valid, and that might be your feelings in the moment. That doesn't make them true. That doesn't make them true. Our emotions can get ahead of us, and they can create a false reality if we allow them. Right? We are not to partner with culture and let our emotions be our guide. Jesus wants us to look beyond our emotions and look at eternity. Jesus left them in this moment with this statement, with this thought. You are God's prized possession. Listen, let that sink in for just a minute. You are God's prized possession. Nothing is more important to him than you. He loves you with a love that is everlasting, that has no end. And he explains it in a way to his disciples that made complete sense to them. He said, what is the price of two sparrows? One copper coin? But not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father knowing it. And the very hairs on your head are numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. The reason this would make sense to the people listening to him right there is because when it came to making sacrifices in the temple, if someone couldn't afford the preferred sacrifice, like a dove or something like that, then a sparrow would suffice. And they were cheap little insignificant birds. I get kind of bored of sparrows, honestly, because they're everywhere. They're just these dull little brown and black birds. that poop everywhere. Right? And I mean, there's nothing spectacular about them. There's no bright colors that I'm like, oh, those are pretty. There's nothing special about them. They make messy nests. And they poop everywhere. Yet even in their commonality and in their dullness and in their annoying behaviors, Father God knows when each and every one is born and when each one dies. What? Hang on. Do you hear that? I mean, the amount of sparrow to man ratio, I mean, there's probably 1,000 sparrows to one human. Let's be real. I don't know what the actual ratio is, but they outnumber us for sure. And Father God notices when one tiny, insignificant, annoying bird dies. If he notices that, he says, but you are even more valuable than an entire flock of sparrows. You're more valuable to me than that. If I notice when one of those dumb birds die, I'm sure Jesus doesn't call his creation dumb, okay? But if I notice when one of those birds die, how much more do I take notice of you? How much more do I take notice of what's going on in your life? Father God knows you better than you even know yourself. Do you know how many hairs are on your head? Do you know? No, that's impossible to know. Hair falls out of our head every single day. Listen, I clean up hair from my bathroom every single day, and I have short hair. I raised 3 girls in my home. And every week, I would have to turn the vacuum over and cut with scissors the hair that had wrapped around the roller of the scissors. There was a lot of hair shed in my house. And you want to know the miraculous thing? It's not that just he knows how many hairs are on our head. Listen, it says that he has them numbered. He knows which number falls out and when. Oh, there goes number 5,872. That one's gone. Another one doesn't take its place. That hair will never have a number again. Do you hear me? If he labels the dead things in our life, if he knows the dead things in our life, how much more does he know our eternal living soul? Here's what I know. Multiple storms are going to come at us throughout our lifetime. Right? If we take what I remember being told to me growing up to be true, then we're either always going to be in the middle of a storm, cleaning up from a storm, or preparing for a storm. My question to you is, how do you prepare? Because the preparation in our heart determines how we make it through the storms that come in our lives. And the storms that enter our lives will have different magnitudes. Some will be simple little tropical depressions with some rain. Some will be full-on hurricanes with devastating winds coming from multiple directions. And you and I are going to be held accountable for how we handle these storms. I remember when I was younger, and I don't know what we are talking about. Probably a storm in my life. I don't know. And my sister said to me, you know what? My goal is to come through every situation with an A plus from God. Listen, I don't think I've come through every situation with an A plus, but it's my goal to get there. And I hope it is yours too. Because as we're going to learn next week, even as Jesus took just a moment to be like, listen, as you're facing this stuff, I want you to remember these things. You don't have to go crazy trying to figure it out and find all the evidence. You need to know that, man, they can only hurt you physically. Okay? Don't waste your fear. Don't waste your energy on that. And I care about you. And I see you. I haven't forgotten about what I've said to you. I haven't forgotten about the call that I put on your life. I haven't forgotten about the gifts that I gave you, that I'm still waiting for them to mature so I can release them. He said that to us in Romans, by the way. Every single storm will come to pass. But how are we preparing our hearts for the next one that comes?
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.